CWH is thrilled to continue broadcasting my dad's timeless broadcast, proclaiming the Word of God. Now, let's join Dad for his message on how to pursue Christ and look forward to eternity. We hope you will be enriched by today's message, Christian, Go for the Gold.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here we are, another week has rolled by, and we're back just worshiping the Lord, and not by ourselves, but all around the world, all over the world. We have people that are worshiping by television and shortwave radio. You know, by shortwave radio, we reach 90% of the world's population. So we just rejoice we can be together. And today, we're going to talk about Christian, go for the gold. And it's a spiritual Olympics. And so stay with me on that. But first of all, I want to read some of the letters. We just thank you for writing. And so here's one from San Jose, California. And this is a gentleman writes, as an expression of gratitude to Almighty God, please accept the gift of $25 for your Christian Worship Hour on TV. I seldom go to church since June 2017 because I had three strokes. But instead, I watch Christian Worship Hour on TV, being led by a 96-year-old minister. I am now 87 years old. I got saved when I was 31. It was the happiest moment of my life. I'm a Filipino in Christ Jesus. And we hear that over and over. When people accept Jesus, it's the happiest day of their life. I know it was for me. I was 10 years old, and I remember I accepted the Lord, and I didn't get goose pimples. I didn't hear voices or any lights or anything, but just in my heart, I was so happy because my sins were gone. Jesus came into my heart, and he's been there 87 years, 86 years, and he's going to be there till I get to eternity. Then I'll see him face to face. Let's see. This is from the Fiji Islands. That's 6,773 miles away from Aberdeen. And they're worshiping with us. Isn't that beautiful? This is what they write. Praise the Lord. I'm from Fiji. I love seeing your program on Daystar and the Christian Worship Hour. My family and I are born again Christians since our grandparents were also followed Christianity. We're requesting for some prayer as well as a Bible and some CDs. We have learned a lot from your program, such a strong meaning of Bible verses, how to pray and worship God, and many more. We are really blessed to watch your spiritual sermons. It will be very grateful to hear from you soon. And believe me, we wrote by return mail, and so that they'll hear from us and know that we're standing by. We'll send some literature and CDs and help in any way we possibly can. But I thought, here it is in the Fiji Islands, 7,000 miles away. And here we are, we're worshiping the same Lord Jesus. And we're all over the world. Well, you know, when we get to heaven, we're told there's a site in heaven in Revelation 5, 9, and 10. And there are all of these people from all over the world. There they are, and it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. And that's exactly what it is, this wonderful gospel. It doesn't matter the culture, the nation, the color of the skin. It doesn't make a bit of difference. It moves, talks to the heart, and the heart is the same on every human being. One more letter I need to share with you. As I just love this letter. Thompson Falls, Montana. And this is a man, a dear brother, a dear man writing, and he's talking about his sister. He says, I just wanted to thank you for everything you have done for us. When you talked to my sister, Pat, and she asked the Lord to come into her heart through you, we were so happy. Pat died of a heart attack on Easter Sunday. I know she's in heaven with our Lord. God bless you as you've always been there for me. Now, the beautiful thing is, this is a brother, and we prayed over the telephone with him to accept the Lord. And he said, talk to my sister. And I called his sister and sent some literature, and we prayed over the telephone. She prayed to accept Jesus. And if you want to, you get on our website and get our telephone number. If you want some help in praying to Jesus, I'll be glad to do it. But you really don't need any help. You just talk to Jesus and he'll always hear you. So we just thank you for these beautiful letters. Now, before our message, we have one of our board members, Hank Bowker, with us, and he has a special announcement he's going to give. So God bless you, Brother Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. Over the past month, we've been telling you about the Christian Worship Hour film, Heart of a Shepherd, that's now available on DVD from the Christian Worship Hour. It's the inspirational story of a life devoted to sharing the eternal promises of God that are available to all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and for a place in his kingdom. It's the story of Pastor Salem's lifelong ministry. I'd like to offer you an opportunity to become an active participant in this ministry, to become a missionary right where you are. And how so, you say? Well, share the film with family members or friends, especially the unchurched. Share the film with your church or Sunday school class. If you live in a retirement center, share the film as part of your activities program. If you're in a nursing home, share the film during your devotional time or church service. If you are part of a Bible study group, share the film with them. These are just a few possibilities, a few examples. I'm sure you can think of many others. You can order Heart of a Shepherd by sending a free will offering to the Christian Worship Hour at Post Office Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or you can order it online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Thanks. God bless.
And thank you, and God bless you, Hank. And I want us to say an amen to this, because this is an hour film, and is set up so that it will help people come to Jesus. It's about the coming to Jesus and praying to Jesus and the need for Jesus. And you can give this to friends, and we'll send it on a free will offering basis. And you give it to friends, or you can have them come and show the film in your home, and that way you can become a missionary for the Lord. It's just beautiful. That's our work, getting out the gospel. Well, today we want to think about a sermon, Christian, Go for the Gold. And when I say go for the gold, you think of the Olympics, don't you? Well, St. Paul, the Olympics were in full swing when he was here. And so we're going to look at the spiritual Olympics. And Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 and to 15. He says, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it, that if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I count not myself to apprehended. That is, I have not yet attained. I have not yet laid hold on. I have not arrived. He says, I'm striving. I'm in the race now. I haven't finished the race, and I'm working on it. I'm striving for that. Paul is saying, I'm not perfect. I'm working on it. I'm pressing toward that mark. And when Paul talks about perfection, he cannot mean his state in Christ, for that is, he's not having perfection. But when we're when we accept Jesus, our standing in Christ is perfect. But then our lifestyle, how we live that life, that's what he's talking about. It's talking about the earthly life and how that I need to work on that. And Paul says, I'm pressing up for, I'm reaching for, I'm straining for, I'm wanting to be perfect. I'm wanting to be like Jesus. He's my pattern. He's my model. And that's what his whole desire is. And he's saying, I want to have knowledge of Christ. I want to have perfect communion with the Lord Jesus. I want to have full and perfect conformity to the will of Christ and the mind of Christ. And I want to be in the center of his will. I want full spiritual maturity. And he says, I haven't reached that point yet. I'm working toward that point. I'm striving for that point, but I'm not perfect. He says one thing. He has one great aim in life. He's not going to be sidetracked over other avenues and areas. He's not going to be running off of this, that, and the other thing. He's going to give everything he has to Jesus Christ. One thing, this one thing. He set his eye on the goal, and that goal is Jesus Christ. He has nothing else in mind. All the activities about him were blotted out of his mind. He saw only one thing, that goal. And he strived everything he had, that one goal, as to honor Christ and live like Christ. Dwight L. Moody was a great evangelist. And there came a day when he was doing a lot of different things. And one day, there's something happened in his life. And he says, from now on, all of these other things are rubbish. There's just one thing I do, and that's serving Jesus Christ. And the thing that changed Dwight L. Moody was the great fire, tragedy of the great Chicago fire of 1871. Before that time, Moody was busy in doing Sunday school. He was the YMCA. He was doing evangelistic meetings. He was in a lot of other ideas. But once he saw that fire, there was only one thing in his mind, and that is win people to Jesus. Evangelism. Nothing else counts. Just that. That's what Paul is saying. The winners in the race will do that one thing when they run. They will run the race. In the Olympics or any race, they run for the goal. They fix their eye on the goal. They don't turn aside to look what's around them. They don't carry excess luggage, a suitcase in one hand or something on the back. They have one aim in mind, and they're not going to turn from it ever, ever, ever. They were like Nehemiah when he came back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They tried to distract him. They wanted him to come down from the wall and do some things with them. And Nehemiah said in chapter 6 and verse 3, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. And that's what we have to do. We can't do 100 different things or 2 different things. What does James say in James 1 verse 8? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He has to get one thing in mind, and that's Jesus Christ, following Jesus and helping him as we bring the people to Christ. That's all he lived for. Paul says like this, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. That doesn't mean remember, though. It doesn't mean he doesn't forget them altogether. He always will have some of those memories. But he's meaning, I don't have my mind fixed on the past. There's some people like that. They won a race one time, or they did something one time, and that's all they do is they live in the past, and they think of the past, but that's distraction. And then I'm going to tell you something else about the past. The devil likes to throw up the past, the bad things in the past. And don't we have all of us have things in our past we wish we would have been different? Well, things that what we might have done, or what we should have done and we didn't get done, or how we raised our children, or how we were not careful in our living, or how we yielded to some temptation, or how we should have been kinder to a loved one who's now departed and beyond us. These torments come to us over and over. And I tell you where they come from. They come from the devil. And the reason the devil does it is because he knows we can't change the past. There's nothing we can do about the past. And so he throws it up to us, and then we worry about it, and we fret about it. And Paul says, oh, well, look at Paul. Look at his past when he was Saul of Tarsus. What did he see? Well, for one thing, he could see a godly young Stephen being stoned to death, and he could see how that he had the people throwing the stones. They left some of their garments at his feet while they were killing this young man, Stephen. He saw him die. Paul could also see Christians that he drug into court and put into prison, and people that he caused to blaspheme, and how he had persecuted the church, and how he would just, maybe he was Saul of Tarsus, and he's arresting this young man. He's going to put him in prison, or he's going to take his life. And here comes a wife, and she falls down on her face and begs Paul, please, Saul of Tarsus, don't do something. Please, my husband. And he says, trash. And he has him put to death. Paul had a terrible past. Well, listen, he talks to King Agrippa, and he tells us some of his past. This is what he says. I verily thought within myself I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I did also in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And then when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly against them, I persecuted them even unto foreign cities. Paul is saying, I had a horrible past. How could you make a man blaspheme? Easy. You take his little boy and you hold his little boy up and said, if you don't blaspheme, if you don't deny Christ, I'm going to put this little boy's eyes out. What would you do? And that's what Saul did, Saul of Tarsus, because before he was born again. And he says, but of all those things, what does he say? Forgetting those things are behind. That Paul is saying, I can't erase them all. They're there. But he says, I am putting the behind because I'm going to put my eye ahead. I'm not going to look back. I'll never win the race looking back. I'll never win the race running backwards. I'm going to put them behind me. And instead of looking back to those terrible things that made him sick to the stomach, instead of he turned the past, he looked ahead. And what did he see? Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. And that was his model, and that was his goal, and that was his aim, and that's what he was going to do. So he doesn't dwell in the past. He just keeps his eyes on Jesus, see? And all my dear friends, we get letters, and I know you talk, and we'll tell about some, and you'll say, oh, I did this in the past, and God must be punishing me now, and oh, I'm sorry for the past, but I can't do anything about it. Yeah, I know you do that, but do like St. Paul, he says, forgetting the past. I put the past behind me. Now, how can you do that? You can put the past behind you by looking ahead. You see, you can't look backwards and forward at the same time, can you? And so you fix your eyes on Jesus, that beautiful, beautiful Jesus who forgives us of all our sins, and he gives us the strength to live over every temptation, and he helps us all the time. Get your eyes on Jesus, see? And then you can put your effort, put all the effort you got. He says, reaching forth under those things which are before, or strains forward what lies ahead. Have you seen some of these people in these races? And they're giving their everything they got, and they come and they pass the finish line and they collapse. And people have to pick them up. They put every ounce they have, everything they have, in running that race, in getting to Christ, in winning that goal. And that's what I want to do, and that's what we want to do. And that's what Paul says. In one place he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto death. He says, I press toward the mark. I give everything I have in one thing, not two things. One thing, Jesus, Jesus, that beautiful Jesus. And you fix your eyes on that Savior, and he'll help you, and you'll move along. And you'll give it to you. And so we have them. We always pray for the persecuted church. Every week we pray for the persecuted church somewhere. And what are they doing? They're pressing toward the mark. And some of them, it's costing their lives. And I read of five young men who bowed their heads. And in Arabic, they said, Jesus is Lord. And they cut off their heads. They pressed toward the mark and they never gave up. And oh, I wish I had faith like that. I don't think I do. I don't know. But I know these dear brothers did, and they were instantly in the presence of God. And I don't pray for those who died because they wear a martyr's crown and they're in glory, but we pray for the mothers and the wives and the parents and the children left behind. Hard days, but when you run that race, you never turn back, you never look back. And that's what Paul says. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ. And you know something beautiful about this. He says, you know, when you run in the Olympics, only one can win the gold, right? Only one. But in the Christian Olympics, all of us can win the gold, every one of us. And all you have to do is to be faithful. And everybody can be faithful. Just stay with it and never turn back. Put your hand to the plow and you never look back. You burn the bridges behind you. There's no going back, no turning back. We're going with Jesus. That's what Paul is saying. And he says, but look at what he says. Not that I have already attained. That Paul is saying, I'm not perfect. That's what he's saying. I'm not perfect. And you know, none of us are perfect. And so what we do is we run this race. Well, then when we run this race, we just keep our eye on Jesus. And then we'll stumble. And we'll have an evil thought. Or we'll say something. Or maybe lose our temper or something. I don't know. It could be a thousand things. The devil's got all kinds of ways. And when you do that, then you go to Jesus and you say, dear Jesus, I'm so sorry. And in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins. Now, this is to Christians. 1 John's written to Christians. And that means he's written to people, Christians, who sin. And all Christians sin to some degree. After they're saved, they all do it to some degree. Some do a lot better than others. But we're all poor old sinners. And God's working with us. And so when we fall down, when we make that sin, we have that thought. Maybe somebody, you're driving along, and somebody pulls out in front of you, and they putt, putt, putt along, and don't you want to run over them? Well, that's wrong, see? And say, dear Jesus, I'm sin there. I'm sorry for my sin. I need to learn patience, and I ask you to forgive me, dear Jesus. And when you say that prayer, he'll forgive you. And you say, yeah, but I've done it several times. Well, have you done it a million times? God says, where grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That wonderful, beautiful grace of God. And you confess that sin every time you fall down. You confess that sin and you get up and you struggle on and you keep on. And maybe you'll win and maybe you won't, but you'll end up in heaven. Because the moment you accept Jesus, you're in heaven. That's what we're told in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life right that second. And then Jesus isn't done. Then Jesus says, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto eternal life. John 5:24, it's my favorite verse in the Bible. And I've gone to it a lot of times. And that's just telling me that when I fail, the minute I accept Jesus, and you can have to have Jesus, and you have Jesus by just saying, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. If you've never ever asked him into your life, I've sinned, dear Lord. I ask you to please take away my sin. And I'll turn from my sins. You're going to turn. Jesus taught repentance. Repentance means an about face. You turn. He told the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. You just don't ask the Lord to save you and go back to your old sins again like an old pig. You have a different heart now, the heart of a lamb. You won't be happy where the pigs live. And so you walk with Jesus, but you stumble and you fail. And you ask him to forgive you. So, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins the best I can. I'll follow you and thank you, Jesus. And you have everlasting life. You're born again. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're a child of God. And he'll hold you in his hand. You don't hold Jesus. Jesus holds you. He says in John 10:28, he says, I hold them in my hand and no man can pluck them out of my hand. Nobody can get them because I don't hold on to Jesus. I could slip, but Jesus holds me, and nobody can get me out of Jesus' hand. You pray that prayer. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us, and we'll send you some literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you literature. Wherever you are in the world, we'll send you literature. And if you want to send us a gift, then we need to have your help, because we have to pay our way like anybody else. And so you just send us a gift. And if you want to, you can send it anywhere in the world, and you can send it over the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. We'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. And we'll use every penny for the work of God, for the work of Jesus Christ. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, everything we take in and everything we spend. We're all on the level. And one other thing quickly, we have a little Bible study. And this month of June is how to be like Jesus. And you say, we call it the new song. You just write and tell, I'd like to have the new song. And we'd be glad to send it. But whatever you do, pray for this ministry. Help us if you possibly can, because we have to pay our bills just like everybody down the road. So now I'm going to pray for you. And in our closing prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Egypt. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful salvation you give us. Thank you for all of those right now who've prayed that prayer and come to you. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless each one and give them peace of heart and joy. Lord, we pray for the persecuted church in Egypt today. And we know that right now while we're talking, some are suffering. Some are suffering to the point of death. And so we just pray, and we know you'll comfort them and help them to know that we're praying for them and help them to know that they're a great encouragement to us. Oh, bless them. Be with the lonely, Lord. Be with those who bother by themselves. Be with those on sick beds, those who are in wheelchairs, whatever it is. And those maybe, Lord, who are afraid. Maybe some are lonely. Whatever it is, just help them to give their heart to you and lean on you, and you'll love them and help them. Amen. Now we hope and pray that you'll remember us, Christian Worship Hour. Giving it again for you, all you people on shortwave, love to hear from you. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So we're going to be looking for that letter. And then next week, Lord willing, we'll be back. And we'll be preaching about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And it'll cheer hearts, it'll save souls, and it'll bless saints, and it'll honor God. And why, what all it does, we don't know. So we just preach it and give it out, and God does the rest. So God bless you. Remember that God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. I know I love you. And all of these folks helping you do the mechanical work here, we'll have you on our heart. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.